welcome in to this turbo episode of the Blanket Coverage Podcast. We've got class in a little while, and Jack is driving all day today. So this episode is going to be a little more brief, concise, consolidated than usual, but we are still going to get all of our picks in for you. Don't worry about that. First off, Jack, how are we doing on this beautiful Texas Friday?
Doing good. Feeling a lot better. I actually was pretty sick this weekend. As you know, I ended up recovering actually pretty well. It wasn't COVID related, fortunately, but ended up feeling pretty good now, which is very helpful considering I'm making the long trek back to Atlanta with my car today. Not all in one day because I'm not too crazy here. But
how long of a drive is that?
About 12 hours. So I'm
driving. Oh, come on. You can do that in a day.
I do not want to put my life at risk. I just
come
want
to on. Nashville's 11.
Get it done. And that's wild. I'm not doing all that today, but I'm going 7.5 to Meridian today, spending the night, and then going the rest. The other reason I'm doing it split up is because I have one of my best friends in Birmingham now, and I want to make time to see him too. And if I did it all in the day, that would be impossible. So I wanted to get some time in to see him and then just get back then. I was going to go to the Georgia Tech Pittsburgh game, but we'll talk about a little bit of the cancellations later, but that game actually just got postponed, so Tech will not be playing there. They actually did reschedule it already. It's for December 12th, which, of course, I was going to be home for, but I've already made my flights to come back here for that week to see all the TCU basketball games. So fate's a funny thing, but either way, it'll be fun to be back home for a minute. I have been here since mid-July with no breaks, so
wow. I've been here since early August with no breaks.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we'll go ahead and dive into this and get some good stuff in before we get on to the rest of our busy days. But moving on to our roundup, we got baseball first. And in this one, we have our MVP announced of baseball. And in the AL, we have Jose Abreu for the Chicago White Sox. And what he had a fantastic, fantastic season with this team. He was one of the top players in the AL, looked to be one of the favorites to win this award, and was very deserving of it here. But for the NL MVP, we have the one and only first baseman of the Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman, which I am so happy to finally say this because Freeman was one of the most underrated players in the league by both other players talking about it and as well fans and nearly everyone else about it. It just, that was huge, huge, huge. He beat out Mookie Betts and Manny Machado for the MVP race and 1,000% deserved it, at least in my very biased opinion. Freddie, by the way, there were a total of 30 votes for him, 28 first, 2 second, no other votes. So safe to say it was pretty clean on this. Manny Machado only had 2 votes for second, didn't get a single first place vote, and Mookie Betts only got 2. Freeman is the 6th different player for the Braves and to be the NL MVP, and the most recent one was Chipper Jones in 1999. So pretty big for him on there. And then for Abreu, some stats on that. It was the first time the White Sox been in the playoffs since 2008, and it was the first time since Ryan Howard and Justin Morneau in 2006 that a pair of first basemen won MVPs. So interesting fact there. And pretty big for him to come in and get that. They also got contract bonuses. Freddie Freeman got $185,000 and Abreu $37,000 for their MVP awards. And it's also the first time in more than 75 years the MVP trophies did not carry the name and likeness of Kennesaw Mountain Landis, which is their first ever commissioner of the MLB. So interesting there. He's also got removed to that because he also had a concerning level of picking black players, and there's a lot of problems with the former Negro leagues, and it was a whole controversy this summer. So they decided, they as in the BBWAA, which is the organization that gives the award out, they decided to switch it up for that, which would make sense. So yeah, he became commissioner in 1920. No black athletes actually played in the majors at all through his entire reign that ended in 1944. And we all remember what happened 3 years later in 47, Jackie Robinson. So yeah, a lot of that, they tend to be a little complicated, so they tend to put that off. But besides that controversy aside, very exciting to see these guys playing out here, and really interesting to see what baseball is going to look like soon, because this is basically the last baseball news we got until free agency. So this was sort of the final roundup of this wild 2020 season, and what was a really fun one. Moving on to soccer, I did see MLS jersey sales ended up dropping today, and unsurprisingly, Carlos Vela running it out. But kind of impressive that my boy Joseph Martinez, the star of Atlanta United, finished third in jersey sales despite only playing one game and only played half of one game over the whole season, and yet was third. So pretty cool to see that for him, but not much else about that. And then on Etc. News, Big 12 commissioner and football floating the idea of a college football playoff pushback, which is a little bit concerning to hear that. Also, Ivy League sports have canceled all of their fall athletics. Winter athletics. All winter athletics are canceled for the Ivy League. So we will not be seeing any Ivy League basketball. As of right now, all the major tournaments like NCAA and all those all are still on. There's no worry about any of that now. I would say I'm not very worried about, I don't know if the NCAA could survive another March Madness gone, honestly. So I'm not really concerned about March Madness yet.
I think March Madness is going to happen.
I'm not too worried about that, especially because they saw how well the bubble worked for the NBA. And now they have precedent that I don't even think it might come to that. I don't even think it could. Cause again, that's talking about March, April, really. And we could have, they're talking about vaccine rollouts months before then. I would be pretty surprised if we couldn't get vaccines to most people by March. Again, fingers crossed. We don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I would hope that it's before then. Other big news that came out about a few minutes ago, actually, the Miami Marlins hire Kim, and it's like Ng, it's N-G, I do not know how to pronounce this, but it's Kim N-G is like how to spell her last name. And she is their new general manager, and she is the first female and first Asian-American GM in the MLB. So pretty cool to see that breaking some barriers both on sex and color there. So pretty neat to see Kim make her debut into the league, and we'll see how she does with this Marlins team that was pretty god-awful 2 years ago and then actually pretty solid last year and a huge turnaround. A lot thanks to the current manager, but to see that team working together, we could see a really competitive Marlins team over the next good long while, which as a Braves fan, I don't love to hear that, but the Marlins are a pretty fun team despite that, so it'll be exciting for them. And now moving on to our week 11 preview of college football. I cannot believe it's week 11 already.
I know. Goodness. I know. You're flying it's flown through. By. Eventually, we're coming up soon on the point where we only have Big Ten and Pac-12 football.
Which is kind of wild, but and then a few sprinkled in
of conference games, championships and post COVID games, and
it'll be interesting. So TCU West Virginia is up first here, and I got the Horned Frogs coming out here because West Virginia was one of those teams that used to impress me, but now doesn't really impress me. And TCU is a team that I think is starting to rise back up. I know it's going to be hard, and actually, I did look at the math of it, and it technically it's still possible for us to make the Big 12 title game, which I say almost laughing because it's like this will not happen, but we basically have to win out and then have to have multiple crazy upsets to happen. But I would sure love to win out to at least make that a thought in my head. So with that, I think TCU can win this game. I know that it's at West Virginia, which is a very hard game to win, I know, but I have some confidence in the guys to come out and get the job done.
Yeah, going to Morgantown scares me, but it seems like Duggan's got his confidence back. He's starting to throw the ball pretty well, and this offense is starting to move the ball pretty well. If we can have success running the ball, I feel like I say this every TCU game because it's true in a lot of our games. If we can have success running the ball against West Virginia, I think we win this game pretty easily.
Next up, we have Penn State, Nebraska. And now, if you're wondering why in the world I'm choosing these two teams to play, it's because, well, basically every other game's getting canceled, and there are not too many.
Yeah, we ran through the cancellations on Wednesday. That was that there's a lot of cancellations. This would have been an incredible slate, honestly, of college football.
Which we actually added to that as well. There are games like Air Force Wyoming, Memphis Navy, Rice Louisiana Tech. I mean, there are even more games have been added to this list. The Georgia Tech game, as I mentioned. So there are a few solid games in here that got messed up for that even further. So we're just trying to see what we can get. There are also Indiana, Michigan State's also happening. So watch out for that one. But for Penn State, Nebraska, these are two teams that are winless, which, oh boy, that's sad. It's a 0-5 combined record. And I got Penn State coming out here and taking this one because, I think the Nittany Lions are better than their record. I know the Indiana game was very bad, but now we're starting to see the Indiana's actually a good football team because, yes, at the end of that game, I thought it was just a crazy fluke upset. It's not. Indiana's a good football team. And then Ohio State is an unstoppable god in the Big Ten. So it's like, I don't know how much to judge their season so far. And I get they also had a third loss in there. I'm not going to forgive them totally. And that was to Maryland. But Maryland is also looking like a much improved team with Tualia. Nebraska, I don't see anything out of. And then Iowa, the week after that, I was incredibly banged up. And I think Penn State could take that one too. But if Penn State like somehow goes winless or wins like one game here, then James Franklin will be sprinting out the door. But it's, I don't know. I think they're going to take this game. I think there's just too much talent on this Penn State team comparatively to blow this game.
I've actually got Nebraska in this game, and let me tell you why. Penn State has been so accustomed to winning for so long that they don't know how to handle 0-3, and especially with this team that's replacing a lot of leadership-type guys. Journey Brown, we found out the other day, is medically retiring from football. Micah Parsons opted out for this season. This team is missing a lot of talent. And I'm not sure that this offense is going to be able to pick up the slack where this defense left off. I think this is going to be a relatively clunky, sloppy game. But I see Nebraska actually pulling out a close one at home too.
And also being at home, I think, does make a big impact here. It's always tricky to play out in Lincoln. Next up, we have Miami, Virginia Tech, in a game that's probably one of the best 11 a.m. games of the slate. And I'm actually very excited to watch this one. I know TCU's at the same time, but do try to flip back and forth. This is the ESPN game. Just also with TCU, West Virginia is the headlining Fox game of 11 a.m. So I think it's the Big 12 noon game.
Fox big noon kickoff. I think that was supposed to be Ohio State, Maryland, if I'm correct.
Probably, yeah. Which, man, that game would have been so fun. But yeah. Miami, Virginia Tech, the Hurricanes are a 6-1 team that nobody talks about, number 9 team that nobody talks about, and they're playing Virginia Tech on the road in Blacksburg. I don't care. Miami's going to win this game. Virginia Tech has shown very little promise over a lot of big games they should have won. Virginia Tech is favored by 2, but even with that, I think Miami is going to have a big game. I don't think they have an answer for King.
Virginia Tech is favored by 2? Are you kidding me? I'm taking the Miami money line in this game. They're plus 105. I've got Miami winning big. I don't even think Virginia Tech's going to make it competitive.
It's 2.5 now. How's that possible? Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some sort of injury that we're not seeing.
The last 2 wins for Virginia Tech were against Louisville by 7 and then Boston College by a lot. I mean, there's not much to look at here, but I'm not impressed. Next up, we have USC versus Zona. Arizona Wildcats will be hosting us, the Trojans, in their first home game of the year. And in this one, I'm liking Southern Cal here. I think that they showed a lot of heart and a lot of fight last week in a game that was 1,000% loss, and they somehow came back and won. I still don't know how they won that game. They're favored pretty heavily in this one. Slovis looked absolutely excellent in that game. He was slinging the ball back and forth. I don't know if Arizona has much of an answer for him. I know there's very little for Arizona on the year because this is their debut game. They actually didn't play last week, so I don't know. But if there's anything to let you know about Arizona, their last 5 games of 2019, 0 wins.
0.
They lost to Oregon State, Stanford, Oregon, Utah, which Oregon, Utah, really good, and Arizona State.
Yeah, Arizona. No, I was about to say, I'm just picking against Arizona in pretty much every game at this point, except maybe like Oregon State or, you know, some non-conference games. I think this is going to be a tough year for Zona. Kevin Sumlin has not really showed any promise whatsoever, despite having a little bit of talent in Tucson. I'm going with USC here, I think, pretty handily.
Back to some more Big 12 action. We got the Texas Tech Red Raiders hosting the Baylor Bears. Both of these teams being very underwhelming, but oh man, at least we aren't Baylor for how bad of our year has been. Baylor sitting at 1-4 coming into Texas Tech. Oh boy, both these teams are combined 2-9 in conference play, and Baylor is favored in this game. But I think Texas Tech's going to win. And I think Texas Tech is going to win because this Baylor defense is very bad. And yes, Texas Tech's defense is very bad. But Baylor's offense is nothing. And Texas Tech actually can turn it up on offense sometimes. They didn't do it too well against TCU, but you're also playing one of the better defenses. But they still put 28 on Oklahoma. I know I'm not some of the defensive side. They put up 34 on West Virginia and won. They've had a pretty good run of offense over the last few weeks that Baylor just has been struggling to do. And I think that the Red Raiders are going to pull this game out. They just do really well. I know the Texas Tech defense is horrible, but we've watched Brewer play football, and he's not very good.
Yeah, no, I don't trust Charlie Brewer to come out and put up enough points to bail out his defense, who's going to get torched by this Texas Tech offense. Because regardless of whether you think Texas Tech is even a halfway decent football team, Tech's offense is worlds better than Baylor's offense. And I think Tech's defense is going to be able to bail him out of certain situations, because Baylor's offense is just not up to par with the rest of the Big 12.
So now we're going to whisk on up to Pullman, Washington, where the Washington State Cougars host the Oregon Ducks. Both these teams undefeated at 1-0. And both these teams putting up very, very good numbers on offense in the first week. But despite that, I think Oregon is still leagues better than this Washington State team, and this should be a pretty easy victory for Oregon.
Yeah, I know Washington State looked pretty good last week, but I've got the Ducks here. I think they're just going to out-talent and out-coach Washington State.
Next up, a game that is quite the flip of the script. So you have Wisconsin against Michigan. Wisconsin, a top 15 team, and Michigan not even grazing the rankings, as they shouldn't. And in this game, with Wisconsin having returned a pretty much fully healthy squad here, I think Wisconsin's going to blow this team out of the water. I don't really trust Michigan very much in this game. We have Mertz, who had an absolutely god-tier game in his first game, as we saw a few weeks ago. I think this is going to be a pretty clean win for Wisconsin. Michigan has done absolutely nothing to impress me this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I am all over the Badgers in this game, especially since the line is so close, because I think people are still trying to hold on to that last little bit of Michigan hope, and your defense is hopeless, because Graham Mertz came out and in his first game didn't miss a pass in the first half. He went perfect.
20 for 21 on the game.
20 for 21 on the game, missed one pass. And now he gets to play Michigan secondary. I'm sorry, this game is over before it started. Wisconsin's going to win as long as they can get their guys back and healthy.
Absolutely. Next up, trying to find it in here, we have South Carolina traveling to the Ole Miss Rebels. Ole Miss is favored by actually 12.5 in this game, which is why I'm picking Ole Miss here. I think Mississippi's going to come out and have a big game. And the reason why is because this offense has been absolutely ridiculous. And yes, I get their defense is a very, very bad defense. But South Carolina also has a very bad defense, and their offense is not making up for it. This Ole Miss team averages over 550 yards of offense in a game. And I think that's going to be really difficult for South Carolina to slow down, because we saw what happened last week with Texas A&M putting up 48 points on the South Carolina defense. And I think Ole Miss can put up even more than that.
All right, I was on the Gamecocks. I'm actually going to flip here. The 12.5 scares me. I do not think I would take Mississippi by 12. I think I would actually hop on the South Carolina part of that line.
And I think that.
However, I just don't see a way in which South Carolina wins this game. I mean, their four losses have been to teams that have a lot of talent. And their two wins have been against offenses that just can't really go anywhere. So we've seen them put up points. I think they're going to be able to keep up with Ole Miss, because we know how bad Ole Miss's defense is. But they just haven't been able to keep talented offenses from scoring points. And that there's something to be said for that. I've got Ole Miss, yeah.
Next up, we got Northwestern, a ranked Northwestern, up against Purdue on the road in Indiana. And in this one, I'm going to keep rolling with Northwestern. They have not led me wrong so far this year. They are 3-0, which I still find kind of hilarious that they are actually 3-0. And yeah, they beat down on three teams that when they played them were not particularly the best. And they have to play Wisconsin next week, assuming everything goes as scheduled. But Northwestern's schedule is not that hard, because then you have Michigan State, Minnesota, Illinois after that, three teams that have been very underwhelming. This Northwestern team could potentially run the table, but they got to get through Purdue first, who started a solid 2-0 as well. Despite that, I do think Northwestern's going to win. Biggest thing, the defense of Purdue is very, very poor. 466 yards allowed per game. That's just
and we saw what that Northwestern offense did to Maryland's defense in week one.
And both these teams played Iowa, which is a good at least benchmark to see similarities. Mm-hmm. And they both won in basically the same kind of way. Northwestern was a little bit of a closer win, but it was on the road. So they're pretty even. So, yes, yeah. I think this is going to be a fourth quarter game, a very, very good game. I look forward to watching it. But I think Northwestern's got it in them to finish it off.
Yeah, some of these conference matchups are going to be so awesome. I think Northwestern's got it too. I have them edging just a little bit. Over Purdue. Purdue's not a terrible football team. I just think that Northwestern has the potential to be a pretty good football team as opposed to one of those questionable teams. But we'll really see with that benchmark Wisconsin game next week.
Next up, we have Utah traveling to UCLA in the City of Angels. And we have two teams that actually haven't played too much so far. UCLA losing their first game against Colorado barely in a shootout, and then Utah still not playing after their first game postponed due to COVID. This Utah team was a really, really good football team last year and just collapsed down the stretch with a loss to Oregon and then a loss to Texas in the bowl game in two games that did not look very good for these Utes, but I still like them a lot in this game. UCLA did very little, very, very little to really show up a lot, and last time these two teams played, 49-3 for Utah. I think I'm still liking Utah in here. I don't know if UCLA is good enough to get revenge just yet.
Yeah, no, the Chip Kelly era is sputtering off to a slow, slow start. We didn't get to see Utah play last week. We have no idea how they're going to look this year. However, we know UCLA is going to look pretty bad. So I've got Kyle Whittingham and the Utes.
Next up, we have Pac-12 After Dark. And in this week's installment, we have
Let's caveat, Utah UCLA is also Pac-12 After Dark. There are three Pac-12 After Darks this week. We are picking two of them.
But see, one of them is slightly more After Dark.
Correct.
See, Oregon State Washington is slightly more After Dark, but I'm convinced that game's going to suck. So we're going to talk about California. So California, Arizona State. Again, California with one of their games postponed last week. So we haven't really seen Cal so far this year. Arizona State started off 0-1 to USC. As we mentioned, that was that incredibly close game where they could have very easily be 1-0, but they choked it. So this game basically is going to be the big question. Was the Arizona State choke really their fault and they just sort of screwed it up? Or is USC really that good of a football team? And we don't really know. I don't know how good they're going to be. USC's had a ton of preseason hype. But still, I think Cal might come out and get an upset here. I really don't know. Again, this game is really hard to pick because we basically have no benchmark for Cal. So I just want to say Cal to get the upset win. I think Arizona State might be a little bit deterred after last week, though I could easily see this winning this game. I think this is pretty much a toss-up, but I'm going to go with Cal.
I am locking up Cal in this game at plus 155 on the money line. Cal, with their quarterback, Chase Garbers, has lost six games in the last 2 years. However, Cal was not a very good team last year. They were 4-0 going into their game against Arizona State. What happened in that Arizona State game? Their quarterback got hurt, and then they ended up losing four straight. Once Chase Garbers came back, who has been putting up pretty good numbers, they started to win a little bit more consistently. That offense started to look good again. I am all about the Chase Garbers effect because last year he only lost two games, and one of those games he got hurt in.
Yeah.
So I am all about the Chase Garbers effect. Give me Cal on the money line over Arizona State.
And my computer just froze. But now we can move on to week 10. Quick recap here in the NFL. Again, NFL is always sort of 1 week behind college football, so that's why it's still week 10. And it will be, of course, for the remainder of the season. We got right here game one of this week, and it didn't go too well for the Tennessee Titans. The Indianapolis Colts roared into Nissan Stadium and took over, 34-17 victory for Indy, of 21-0 in the second half. Michael Pittman Jr. led all receivers, with 101 yards. Derrick Henry got over 100, but not able to do much. And it looks like a lot of what I predicted a few days ago ended up being true with this game. I thought that Indianapolis would win this game in mostly the same fashion of just the defense being too good and the Titans running out of steam, which is indeed what happened here. So tough loss here for Tennessee. They're still 6-3, though, which is still obviously a very solid record. And now the Colts being 6-3 makes this very interesting. Of course, these two teams match up in 2 weeks in Indy to be able to decide who will end up either, well, if the Colts will win the series or if the Titans can even it up. So very interesting matchup in what has been a very top-heavy AFC South.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Next up, moving on to our picks, we got Houston, Cleveland up first. I got Cleveland by a pretty clear margin. Houston has done very little except for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think this defense is going to get absolutely trounced this week. I'm not confident for Houston. I got Cleveland as well.
Next up, we have a I wouldn't call it trash bowl because these two teams, I would not say trash, but it's
Washington. These two teams are garbage.
It's Washington versus Detroit. Okay, but they could be a lot worse. There's still 5 wins combined in here, which is still better than I would have thought,
honestly. They could be a lot worse if they played in better divisions.
That is true, but
particularly on the football team side.
Okay, but at least there is some hope in some of these teams. Like, Washington's defense is actually a competitive defense. The Detroit team, like, you do have Stafford, who has played a competitive season. So there are some points of this game to watch. But still, Washington still won't have Kyle Allen. He's pretty injured. I have Detroit in this one pretty cleanly.
I got Detroit in this one, too. I just don't see – I know the Alex Smith thing is a very nice story. But, I mean, that offense just doesn't move when he's in the game. So unless also you want to put Dwayne Haskins back in, which isn't much of an upgrade, I got Detroit.
Fun fact in this game, this is actually the only game of the entire week where the winner will have won their first game either at home or away. Washington and Detroit are both winless, at least on away and at home in this situation at Ford Field here. So interesting
factoid.
Very sad, though. Next up, we have the Jaguars and Packers, a game that should be extremely lopsided, and the money line agrees with this, being Green Bay by 13.5. So yeah, we got the Packers here. This would be the upset of the year if Jacksonville pulled this off.
Yeah, no way. I don't know what the status of Gardner Minshew is for this game. Do you know? It doesn't
matter.
It doesn't matter. Gardner Minshew, Jake Luton, whoever is in the game for Jacksonville is going to lose said game because this is a lock for the Packers.
Nothing official yet on Minshew, but I will keep tabs on it. We'll look at social media for that to see if we can get an update out. Next up, we have the Eagles traveling to the Giants. Oh, man, the only reason I'd ever watch this game, it was a close fourth quarter game with Sunday Ticket, and that's about it. But I think Philly's going to take this game pretty cleanly. Philly's been winning a bunch of games, but only because their competition is just so unbelievably terrible. So let's see how the Giants are able to defend in this game because I don't think it's going to be very effectively.
Two receivers and Devontae Freeman questionable for this game. Oh, boy. It's going to be a rough one for the Giants, I think. But as my hashtag boycott the NFC East goes, I will be abstaining from watching this game. Looking forward to learning what happened on Wednesday. But if I had to speculate, hypothetically, if I wasn't boycotting the NFC East, if I had to speculate, I would say the Eagles are going to win this.
Other interesting fact here that I forgot to mention with the Titans game, with Derrick Henry getting over 100 yards, the Colts defense, as I was mentioning in the last podcast, is third in the NFL, allowing 83 rushing yards per game. With Henry getting a 100-yard performance, again, as he did 149 in Week 13 last year, it is the second time, only the second time, that a running back has had 100 or more twice, dating back to 2018 against the Colts. Wow. So big news for that. Next up, we got Buccaneers-Panthers, an NFC South battle that has the Buccaneers favored by a slight amount on the road, and I'm going to stick with them here. I think they're going to pull this game out. I know they are the favorite team. I know it's a very, very big upset. This is definitely an upset pick game if you're going to pick an upset. But despite that, I think Tampa Bay is going to bounce back. I think this is one of the most important games for Brady at all with the Buccaneers. Like, this could be maybe one of the most significant games for his like late career heroics. And I think it has an end to bounce back, and I am the as far away from a Brady lover as you can ever find someone. But I think that this team is good enough to pull out a win against this Panthers squad, who's pretty underperformed at home.
And I am actually on the Panthers. I know they're probably not going to have Christian McCaffrey, but this team has looked competitive in pretty much every game that they've played. And having to go to Carolina after that beat down last week, I don't think bodes well for Tampa Bay. I think this game is going to be very close. I think Carolina ekes out a close one again.
Next up, we got Denver at Vegas. I think Vegas is going to win this one pretty cleanly. Denver's done not too much to impress me. I know last week they had the Falcons and they were able to pull out a little bit at the close at the end, but you're also playing the Falcons. So if you're able to come back at all, that's basically just sort of part of the football game. So I'm not going to give them too much credit on that one. And this team is just still too banged up. Vegas has been on a pretty solid tear recently. I got the Raiders.
Yeah, I just don't think Vegas is going to blow leads in the same way that we saw the Falcons and the Chargers blow leads. They're going to get up pretty early in this game, and then I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty consistently to be able to lock it up down the stretch.
Next up, speaking of choke leads, we do have the Chargers again. They're playing against the Miami Dolphins on the road, and I cannot wait for this game. It's Justin Herbert against Tua Tagovailoa, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to watch this one, but I think Miami's going to take this one fairly cleanly. And I do love Justin Herbert this year. He's been so much fun to watch. He's been a fantastic rookie, just fantastic. But this Chargers team is just so inept at playing football. They don't have the defensive help they need. Joey Bosa still looks to be out in this game. I just don't see it in the Chargers to pull this out after Miami's been on a really, really good run.
Now, is Austin Ekeler coming back this week? I think I read that Austin Ekeler is
questionable for running backs, but I don't know about Ekeler.
Ekeler is supposed to be coming back soon, at least. If he comes back in this game, I actually like the Chargers' chances. However, I do think Miami is going to win this game in another close game down the stretch. This game is going to have some fireworks for sure, but I think the ball possession and the ball control of this Miami offense is going to be too much, and they're just going to lean on the Chargers' defense.
Next up, we got Buffalo, Arizona, another battle of pretty good teams with pretty good young quarterbacks. Well, maybe the exception of the Chargers, but we got Allen versus Murray in what could be a very, very fun football game. Both these teams are looking great. The Bills are on quite a good tear, and I'm going to keep up with the Bills here. I think that they've been looking really, really good. I don't think these big wins have been flukes. I think the Bills are genuinely a fantastic football team, and their only two losses – well, there were three wins ago, and I think that game against the Seahawks proved they were really big and legit. And we were saying earlier, they have a tough stretch in their schedule, but they're getting past it right now. They have a date with the Steelers in about a month, and they got to keep on winning games to get there. This Cardinals game on the road could be a huge test for them, and I think they're going to pass.
I'm out on the Bills. After last week, that everyone is so back on the Bills train because they put up 44 points on the worst defense in the league. Yes, Buffalo has a good offense, but Arizona has a pretty good secondary. I think they're going to be able to keep up, and I think they're going to be able to score points on the Buffalo defense because Cliff Kingsbury is going to be able to scheme Kyler Murray into some incredible, incredible stuff this weekend. So I've got Arizona in this game. I really like them at home, particularly against Buffalo.
Next up, we got the Seahawks going to the Rams in a pretty fun NFC West battle. This game has always been a good one for like a good amount of years now. This game has been a great game. The Rams are slightly favored in this game after the Seahawks' big loss here, but I think Seattle's going to bounce back. I get that their defense has been a liability for them, but the Rams' offense has not really been as huge as we might want it to be. And they didn't look that good at all on offense against Miami last week and looked pretty solid against Chicago the week before that. And then didn't do a lot against San Francisco. We were actually pretty bad in San Francisco 3 weeks ago. So over the last few weeks, this offense has not been too promising and even only put up 17 points on the New York Giants. And I think that's the biggest thing that everyone's going to be watching this game is can Goff and this Rams offense put up damage on the Seahawks like Allen? I don't think they can. I think that the Bills offense was leagues better, and I think they proved that. I think Seattle's going to come back and get a bounce back win. They've looked so strong this season, and I think they're going to continue that.
Man, I just think LA is going to put up points in this game. I think Sean McVay is going to find ways to, and for lack of a better word, abuse this Seattle defense. It's gonna be a bloodbath out there. Yes, I think there's going to be an interesting coaching chess battle between Pete Carroll and Sean McVay, with Pete Carroll being more of a defensive guy, Sean McVay being obviously the offensive play caller there. Obviously, this is going to be a close game because every Seahawks game is inevitably close. But I think LA has got the juice to be able to do a lot of things in this one. Now, if Cooper Kupp is out, that changes things for me. But as long as LA has got their guys and they're healthy, I am looking for them to wreak havoc on the Seahawks this weekend.
Kupp, well, last I heard of him is that he's on track to play.
But yes, he that's very what limited I heard.
In practice. Well. He was very limited in practice yesterday. So we'll see. San Francisco, New Orleans is next. The game that would have been amazing last year. Now, I don't really think so. New Orleans has been on a wildly good stretch because, of course, they are. And I think they're going to continue it here. San Francisco has been very underwhelming this year. Not awful, but just very underwhelming. I think New Orleans is going to be able to take this one pretty solidly, despite a few injuries. And even on, like, stat sheets, these teams look similar. But I don't think they look similar with the eye test.
Yeah, I'm taking the hot hand here. I don't think San Francisco is going to be able to do much in this game. I think they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit, but this defense is just so depleted. They're depleted of mostly all of their weapons, and I think New Orleans is going to take this game pretty easily.
Next up, we got the Bengals going to the Steelers in our final 325 game of this Sunday. The Steelers are 8-0 for the first time in franchise history, which – for all their big wins and dominance they've had, I'm kind of surprised to see that's the first time they've ever been 8-0. But it's indeed true. And the Bengals have been looking – they're 2-5-1, which is a pretty awful record, but they've looked way better than last year with Burrow. 100% way better than last year. They get is a low bar, but they've looked better. I still think Pittsburgh's going to win this game, but I don't know. I think the Bengals might put up a fight in this
one. Yeah, no doubt. Since he is a frisky team – I don't think they have a chance in this game. Of course, that's what we said last week with the Cowboys. So, I mean, if the Cowboys can do that to Pittsburgh, there's no telling what Joey Buckets can get going back there. But at the end of the day, this Pittsburgh pass rush is scary, and this Cincinnati offensive line is really, really bad. And I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be able to run his way out of this one. I got the Steelers.
What's the over-under on Burrow getting sacked? At least four.
I don't know. I actually don't know if there's a prop for that. I'm sure there might be one on FanDuel I could find.
Hopefully there is some point. Next up, we have the Ravens-Patriots, another game that would have been unbelievably epic a year ago. Oh, my goodness, I would have paid so much money to see this a year ago. But now not so much. New England looks like a peewee football team, and the Ravens look good but not really, really great. They are 4-0 on the road, though, and I think they're going to continue that streak this year. The Patriots look unbelievably poor. Oh, my God. They almost lost to the Jets. Nobody almost loses to the Jets.
Yeah, and I Baltimore in this game. And I think the thing about the Ravens is we can pretty much chalk up any game against a bad team or a below-average team.
Yeah,
I think you can pretty much chalk it up because they are so dominant running the ball. Why they're not as good in the big games is because they can't push the ball down the field quite as much as they'd like to keep up with some of the more pass-heavy teams like a Pittsburgh, even Tennessee, who runs the ball a lot, has become a little bit more pass-happy this year. You got to be able to keep up. You got to be able to pass the football. But thankfully, New England can't pass the football either. Cam Newton's been playing pretty bad as of late. I got Baltimore in this one.
And on our bye weeks, we have Atlanta, Dallas, Kansas City, and the New York Jets, thank God, are off this week. And our final two teams of the week, the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears, face off of Monday Night Football. And in this one, I think the Vikings are going to come away with the win here. I know they have a record way worse than the Bears, almost flipped. But they've looked really hot, and the Bears have looked really cold. The Bears have lost three in a row, and all those games are fairly close, but you never really felt like the Bears are going to win the game, while the Vikings are 2-0 in their last two, including a huge win against Green Bay. So I'm liking Minnesota here. I just have seen so little out of Chicago recently to trust them.
Yeah, I think we've seen Minnesota do it against some decent defenses. I think we haven't seen Chicago show any ability to put up points on really any defense, and Minnesota's defense is pretty bad. So while I think Chicago has a great opportunity to pick up a division win, to pick up a game, because this is one of the worst defenses they're going to see all year, I really, really just don't see it happening, because the Chicago offense made the Titans defense look good, and it's the worst defense in the NFL, as we saw last night.
Indeed. Well, thank you all for tuning in on our hyper fast episode. We're glad to get all these teams in, and we will be delighted to see how everyone plays this weekend. Hopefully no more cancellations come through. Fortunately, as it's about Friday, we tend to be nearly done of those, because by Saturday they would have already tested everyone for all these games and be cleared to go. So we thank you all for tuning in on this beautiful Friday morning. We hope you all have a wonderful day. This is coming from Jack Wallace.
And Noah Parker. Go Frogs. Happy Friday. Peace out, y'all.
Peace out, y'all.